DW.
The large waiting area outside Dr. Mariam Ashour's consultation room at the hematology department of the Aziza Otmane Hospital is packed with patients. They're all wearing masks due to the coronavirus pandemic. Their mothers with their children, old men, women supporting their husbands, and teenagers absently staring into their school books. The hospital is situated at the edge of the ancient Medina in the heart of Tunis, Tunisia's capital. People flock here from all over the country, as the hospital is one of only four centers specializing in disorders of the blood. 3 years ago, Dr. Ashour started a special consultation program for patients with sickle cell disease.
When I was here as an intern and resident, I used to see them only in emergency. I felt that we're not taking care of them. They only come for us when it's too late.
Ashour, a confident and energetic woman, goes on to explain that sickle cell disease is often just seen as some kind of anemia. But this doesn't begin to describe the severe impacts the disease can have on the body. Normal red blood cells are flexible and able to squeeze through even the smallest blood vessels. Sickle cells, however, are shaped like a sickle or a crescent moon, making them sticky and rigid. The cells get stuck in small blood vessels or capillaries, blocking the delivery of oxygen. This can cause excruciating pain, an acute chest syndrome, and life-threatening strokes. In the long run, bones and organs are damaged. Twice a week, up to 50 sickle cell patients come to see Dr. Ashour during her consulting hours. Altogether, she looks after about 350 people suffering from some form of the disease. Rehem is one of them. The 19-year-old was diagnosed only 2 years ago after she had a severe pain episode or pain crisis. She had had symptoms when she was younger, but the doctor at her local hospital never figured out what the problem was.
At the beginning, I was very scared. How will I live my life normally? But Dr. Ashour explained that I could lead a normal life with some restrictions. I shouldn't exercise too hard. And most importantly, I shouldn't self-medicate when I experience a pain crisis, but immediately go see my doctor.
Rehem is managing her illness well. She's finishing school soon, loves hanging out with her friends, and even takes Taekwondo lessons at a safe distance now during the pandemic. Her coach understands her situation and ensures she does not push herself too hard. Alpha, another of Ashour's patients, is faring much worse. It took a long time for the doctor to persuade the 30-year-old to come for regular checkups instead of just turning up when she was having a pain crisis. Many people suffering from sickle cell disease feel that their pain is not taken seriously by nurses and doctors, who think they're exaggerating when they come to the emergency department screaming in pain. Dr. Ashour says she tries to educate other health professionals.
Now I'm trying to make the younger hematologists respect sickle cell disease. You know, in Tunisia, sometimes patient enters and the nurse says, oh, I know him, he's just here for morphine. And I'm like, in Tunisia, I can have marijuana for 10 bucks. If this guy took a car and take 4 hours to come here, if at 40 he's crying himself, it's not for morphine. I mean, he can have drugs. It costs less.
Alpha is not the only one in her family that has sickle cell disease. Her younger brother, Omar, also inherited the disorder from their parents, who don't have the disease themselves, but are carriers. Alpha's parents are cousins. They come from one of the two regions in the country where sickle cell disease is most prevalent because many here marry and have kids with someone from the same bloodline.
But we have many mariage consanguin. It's village with sickle cell disease, another village. And even if there's not consanguinity, you know, this village is going to marry from this one.
Ashour explains that Alpha's brother Omar has already had 2 strokes. To prevent more, he has regular blood transfusions during which a portion of his sickled blood is replaced with healthy blood from a donor. Sometimes Dr. Ashour feels just as helpless as her patients. In Europe and the US, stem cell transplants are viable options to heal a sickle cell patient if a suitable donor can be found. Initial trials with gene therapy have also been promising. But in most developing countries, especially in Africa, where there are the highest number of sickle cell patients, therapy options are limited. Dr. Ashour explains.
I saw that when I was in emergency. I discovered that in Tunisia, you'd rather have a leukemia than have a sickle cell disease because I don't have many options to treat them. I don't have many drugs. I can't help in therapy. But the least I can do for me is the quality of life, the quality of pregnancy, the quality of transfusion, the quality of consultation. I try to make them not wait for me. Some of them, you know, they all have my number now, so they call me on WhatsApp, on Viber, on everything.
While stem cell transplants are theoretically possible in Tunisia, capacity is severely limited and cancer patients are given priority. However, relative to the rest of the continent, the situation in Tunisia is better than in many places. Strong painkillers and hydroxyurea, a medication that reduces the frequency of pain crises, are readily available. Most treatments, analysis, and medications are free and do not have to be paid out of pocket, as is the case in many sub-Saharan countries. But what is really needed is to prevent the disease altogether, says Dr. Rida Kuki, who works at the pediatrics department at the Bone Marrow Transplant Center in Tunis. He treats kids suffering from rare hereditary blood diseases, such as sickle cell disease and thalassemia.
On s'intéresse pas beaucoup à cette maladie. C'est encore une maladie rare.
There is not a lot of interest. It is still a rare disease. It is changing because it costs the state an enormous amount of money. The treatment of thalassemia and sickle cell disease is very expensive. It is lost money because it is an illness that can be avoided if one develops a prevention program.
So far, there's no national program that aims to prevent these diseases in Tunisia. Children are typically only diagnosed after their first pain episodes, a year or two after birth. Only then does the rest of the family get tested. If there's a second pregnancy, Dr. Rida Kuki strongly advises the couple to do a prenatal screening and consider termination if sickle cell disease is diagnosed. For those who know the pain of sickle cell disease firsthand, this goes without saying. Reham, Olfa and Omar are unanimous that they would not wish this illness on their children. Laura Salm-Reiferscheid, DW, Tunis.
DW.